From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. Federal criminal charges have been filed against a Nigerian man accused of trying to trigger an explosion aboard a Northwest Airlines jet bound for Detroit yesterday. The man was arraigned at the University of Michigan Hospital where he's being treated for burns he suffered in the failed attack. NPR's Dina Temple-Raston has more.
The charges come just a day after 23-year-old Umar Abdul-Muttalib allegedly ignited an explosive on Northwest Flight 253. The plane was circling for a landing in Detroit when the explosion happened. The Justice Department says the suspect had been in the plane lavatory for 20 minutes and then emerged and said he was sick to his stomach. He allegedly pulled a blanket over himself and injected some chemical into an explosive the FBI says is known as pentaerythritol. There was a small explosion, and then flames enveloped the suspect and part of the plane's wall. Passengers tackled the suspect, and flight attendants put out the flames with a fire extinguisher. Abdul-Muttalib is being charged with attempting to destroy an aircraft, among other things. There's no mention about any connection he might have to any terrorist groups in the Justice Department's complaint. Dina Temple-Raston, NPR News.
One of the passengers on the Northwest flight, Melinda Dennis, describes the scene on the plane after the accused bomber had been subdued and the fire he ignited had been extinguished.
They had already pulled down his pants. I mean, he literally was from, you know, the bottom half of his body. He was exposed. And, you know, the first thing that caught my eye was the severity of it, of his wounds. You know, the skin was really gone in very large patches where it just looked as if it had been melted away.
Dennis was on NBC's Today Show. Security has been stepped up at airports in the United States and elsewhere around the world following the failed attack. Airlines have been taking their own precautions. For instance, Air Canada is not allowing passengers to have access to carry-on bags during the last hour of a flight or to have any items on their laps. Police and anti-government demonstrators reportedly clashed again in Tehran today. Unrest has been building there in advance of a religious holiday tomorrow. NPR's Deborah Amos reports.
The pictures of protests from Tehran reach outside the country by cell phone photographers circulated by reformist websites. The dissidents report at least three clashes in the center of the capital, some reports of gunshots, police smashing windshields of drivers who honk support for the anti-government gatherings. Government-controlled news agencies dispute these details, blame the foreign media for exaggerating, while banning all outside media from reporting from the streets. Tensions have been rising since the death a week ago of Ayatollah Hossein Ali Montazeri, a maverick cleric who had become a spiritual symbol for the opposition. The public mourning for the renowned cleric comes during the emotionally charged celebration of Ashura, a Shiite religious festival that is often a time of political protests. Deborah Amos, NPR News, Istanbul.
This is NPR News from Washington. A string of attacks against Shiite pilgrims has killed five people in eastern Baghdad. The attacks are the latest targeting worshippers during a time of solemn religious observance. Dozens of Shiites have been killed this week and more than 100 wounded. Police say today's attacks began with a bombing near a tent offering food and drinks to pilgrims. Hours later, a bomb exploded near a line of minibuses carrying pilgrims to the holy city of Karbala. 5 years ago today, a devastating tsunami tore across Asia, killing 230,000 people. Survivors gathered in Indonesia today to remember those who died in the tragedy. Chad Bouchard reports from Banda Aceh.
Thousands of survivors from the devastating 2004 tsunami gathered at mass gravesites and mosques to pray together and remember lost loved ones. In the provincial capital of Banda Aceh, Karyadi, a survivor whose brother died in the disaster, said he only recently began to suffer from signs of severe emotional trauma. He worked for 4 years for a non-governmental organization, but he said now that he's unemployed, the haunting memories are harder to tame. Most aid groups have wrapped up their work here, and the region must now survive on a much smaller economy. Before the tsunami struck, Aceh had been battered by 3 decades of separatist conflict. The disaster sparked a peace deal in 2005, though some provisions have not been met and there have been signs of renewed violence. For NPR News, I'm Chad Bouchard in Banda Aceh, Indonesia.
Salvage crews in Alaska have finished transferring thousands of gallons of diesel fuel from a stricken tugboat. The tugboat crashed Wednesday against the same Alaskan reef that damaged the Exxon Valdez oil tanker 2 decades ago. Efforts to remove the fuel were slowed yesterday when a mile-long diesel oil sheen spread across Prince William Sound. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News in Washington.